The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Previously on the Mark and Mike segment.
And Twitter or Facebook bans them. And then that person rears up and goes, First Amendment, Mike Gallagher says I can't be banned. What do you do with that person? What do you do?
It's a straw man.
What do you do? I'm making the ban. I'm making the ban real. What do you do?
But that's purely hypothetical.
That's right. Answer the hypothetical. What do you
that's
do?
That's not what's happening. It would totally happen. You're pivoting away from this.
I'm giving you a question you can't answer because you don't want
sure
to.
Can.
Then answer.
I just told you 10 times.
It just gets better. It just gets better every time I hear it. How you doing, man?
And you know what I'm annoyed about is when Eric pulled the clip for my show yesterday because I said, hey, let's highlight this disagreement that Mark and I had,
which incidentally is coming on
the and it's coming on the heels of a conversation I have with a very dear friend of mine who listens to us all the time, and he said, boy, you guys are just so enamored with each other. You just agree about everything.
This is 2 days ago
he said that. I'm not kidding you. He said, oh, you guys just ought to go get married. I mean, you always agree with everything you say with each other, and you love each other so much.
Get a room.
I'm like, well, forgive me that I love the guy. I do. He's a dear friend, so sue me.
So
but anyway,
awesome.
That happened. So all that happened yesterday after that conversation I had with this friend of mine. It was kind of rich. But anyway, Eric left that part out, which was the best part. So thank you for playing it.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, you did a lot on your show yesterday, right? As this segment often does, listen, you talk so much about how this puts spark in you and wind in your talk show sails and gives you places to go that you might not otherwise have done. So often I've got a little piece of paper here with all kinds of plans for my own little show that I've got. And then you and I do something and it just catches fire and people just love it. And that was the case yesterday. For those who don't know, here's 30 seconds of it. And then maybe a minute or two of how yesterday worked out for both of us. And then we'll move on to other things. We all as conservatives are just tearing our hair out about the fascism and the censorship and the revulsion that Twitter and Facebook show us. So the big question is, what can we do about it? And one of the tempting things is, well, doggone it, let's just have government tell people whom they can and cannot ban. Kind of satisfying to me for about 30 seconds until I realized there's no constitutional basis for doing it. And Mike yesterday was saying that I'm not sufficiently standing up and fighting back against the big tech oligarchs. You kind of did. So I'll finish and hand you the baton. So I wound up talking to my buddy Tom Giovanetti, who does a lot of Section 230 and regulatory stuff. And I said, listen, what things he says will either resonate with me or not. And they did. So here's where I landed. And then you tell me where you landed. I so understand you. And I had a bunch of wonderful calls. I said, guys, help me out. Make me okay as a conservative. Make me okay with regulating a private entity. And people said things like, well, they're virtually unique. They're like monopolies. We regulate monopolies. That they're showing a certain ideological tyranny because that's the public square. That's where people are having, political debates, et cetera, et cetera. All true. But they are not common carriers. It's not the phone company, and as satisfying as it is to think about regulating these folks and telling them whom they can and cannot banish, it is unworkable and will not stand up in court.
Okay, well, I believe you're wrong. It's not unworkable, and there's a whole bunch of smart people in Congress who strongly disagree and think it is workable. But here's the I should have just said this in two words yesterday. Liability
protection. Not those two words. I'm sorry.
Not those two. But liability protection.
Yeah.
It comes down to liability protection.
Yeah.
If you do something egregious, if you, any of us,
egregious.
We're all subject, well, banning the president of the United States from a platform with 85 million people, I'd consider that egregious. Do you?
Sure, to the extent that I don't
just
like
egregious.
It. Yeah, but
no,
but,
I don't mean just to like it.
Actionable and rendering them subject to government regulation. No, nope.
Because
it's a huge problem. But I'm conservative. I can't have government regulating things just because I have the SADS.
Yeah, you're hung up on government regulating something.
Yes, I am. It's called liberty.
Well,
it's called freedom.
No, it's called it's called the libertarian position. And you've got a you don't have a conservative position. Yeah. You've got a libertarian position. Conservatives aren't anti-government regulation. Guess what? Conservatives believe that murdering a baby in the womb ought to be
absolutely,
against the law.
Absolutely, because that baby deserves protection.
I have government regulation.
Because
come on, I'm a conservative.
A platform doing something we don't like does not belong on the list of things that deserve government attention.
Then that's what somebody says. Well, the fact that Mark and Mike don't like abortion shouldn't lead to government regulation.
But the baby has rights. The baby has rights. That's why that does
Donald
belong.
Donald Trump
on the
has
list.
Rights. He has a constitutional right to be heard.
And nobody's heard a word from him since he got banished on Twitter. He's been in a cave, unheard by anybody.
You think he has the same degree of relevance that he had
totally
before
right.
they
totally
all banned
You're right. And because
they
we don't, him. Because he doesn't like that and we don't like that does not
I mean,
rise
I felt
to
it
government
personally.
Action.
I felt it personally when YouTube took our channel down for playing a news clip. And that's exactly what they did. And they said, Mike Gallagher disseminated medical misinformation. Wait a minute. We said to YouTube overlords, all we did was play a clip from
a mom
at the Gwinnett. Well, they took us down. And we have thousands and thousands of people now who don't see the show because you are on our YouTube channel. Well, guess what? And I don't think that's okay.
I don't think it's okay either. But I also don't think your rights were violated. Do you think that YouTube here's what got to us yesterday in that delicious moment. Where is the line drawn? It's an easy call that you shouldn't have been banned from YouTube. It's an easy call that Trump shouldn't have been banned from Twitter. What about some people who'd say some really truly disgusting things, really incendiary things, and a platform says, "We're banning you." That person will then go, "You can't ban Mike Gallagher said so."
Go back to your first point, which is, well, it's too bad you got banned from YouTube for no legitimate reason. Then what, Mark? Then when you say I don't like it, but then what? So tell you what, let's do some liability. Because
we don't like it. Let's have government rush to our aid
It's fundamentally wrong. You're trivializing that is fundamentally wrong by saying
I abhor it. It is repulsive.
Then what
and
do
terrible.
You want to do about it?
Create new platforms that we can have and be safe. It is
Fair
time
enough.
To create a YouTube alternative,
well,
a Twitter
trying.
Alternative. And by the way, with all love, I don't mean Parler. Parler is a lovely conservative gathering where everybody can gather together in the treehouse and talk to each other. That's fantastic. Somebody needs to make an alternative to where everybody. And listen, I know that's not easy. It's not. It'll be hard.
It's
but
not
I think
happen.
There's an. I think it can, and I think it should because it is the only solution.
And back to the problem at hand. It can happen. Look at Parler. Do you see what happened to Parler? You see how all of the big tech oligarchs shut it down? That's what they keep doing. Apple, Google. All of these platforms, these huge companies, are a monopoly. They got all the so you're right.
That has a meaning. They're not just because you have 90% of market share doesn't automatically mean you're a monopoly. It just means you have 90% of market share.
When you have protection against any liability, when you have no ability to be sued or challenged, essential
for banning people, right? Because they can do
for any reason
they can do whatever they want.
Go back to when Congress 20 plus years ago gave them this liability protection. They never envisioned where we are today, Mark. They never envisioned this.
And the founding fathers never envisioned HBO, but it's here. Let's do something else, but let's end on a hopeful note. The passions are so real, and I think probably 70-80% of listeners think I'm wrong on this, depressed. That's a lot
of
people.
Okay.
That's a lot of people. Don't you think that those energies, rather than inventing government regulation because things aren't working out the way we like, can't those energies be placed toward not another conservative space like Parler or stuff like that, which is great. I love that. But an actual alternative to Twitter where everyone is welcome, where every view, where nobody's banned just for viewpoint, and you know the kind of thing like Twitter was supposed to be to create. I mean,
a lot of people are trying to do that. A lot of people are trying to do that.
I salute them and wish them well and pray for their success.
It's beyond an uphill battle, and it's time to regulate and look and break these companies up. Listen, when I'm agreeing with Elizabeth Warren,
that should be a signal that you're totally wrong.
No kidding. No.
Hey, can I ask an adjacent question? It's not about regulation or anything like this. In the crazy world of Twitter, do government officials, Mike Gallagher, Mark Davis, if somebody gets, annoying to us, we can block them, right? And I've made quite the habit
or
of that.
Mute them.
Exactly right. Yep. What if you and I were members of Congress? What if you or I were attorney generals or governors or something like that? Would we then lose, and we have an account, could we then ban no one because the people who elected us have a right to access us? Because Attorney General Ken Paxton put reestablished nine people whom he had blocked or something like that. I've always been intrigued by this. What's your first thought? Could Trump?
There's a practical implication. I was going to go back to Trump. Mm-hmm. Ostensibly, the reason they didn't ban him until he left office was because they felt they couldn't take those 85 million people away from the platform that he was delivering.
Okay.
Or how many people the whole world was watching his Twitter account.
Correct. Question, though. What if somebody, Trump doesn't care, he has a billion, let's say that you're a governor of a state or attorney general of a state, and you've got, 70,000, 500,000 followers, and there's somebody just dogging you every day. I mean, maybe even in a vulgar, abusive fashion. Can you block that person? Because I'm intrigued by that. Because I would say, yes, you can. I don't believe there is a right to be a Twitter follower any more than there is a right to show up in somebody's office and make trouble.
I don't know. That's a good question. There have been tests of that, because I know there were some politicians in New York that filed suit about that and had the same issue. They got blocked. They said, you're eliminating our platform. Yeah. You're not giving access to our constituents, and vice versa.
What a world.
Here's a world, though, where I think we can agree.
Yeah.
We know that it is a fact that Texas Democrats support the chairman who called Senator Tim Scott an Oreo. Now, this acceptance by the Texas County's Democratic Party, the whole story, the Lamar County Democratic Party will not accept the resignation of Democrat Party Chairman Gary O'Connor, who announced that Tim Scott is an Oreo with no real principles. He said, yep, I got, and of course the whole, ceiling collapsed on him, said, oh, you're going to call Tim Scott an Oreo? So he resigned. The Texas Democrats said, no, we're okay with you saying that. We don't accept your resignation. Alan West, who you and I shared a stage with in that wonderful tribute to you, we had a great night. Where was that? Where was that venue when you, me, and Alan West were on stage?
We were in Grapevine. At the ranch out there in Grapevine. Hmm?
Yeah, beautiful place. Anyway, Alan West gave a statement. Oreos, Uncle Tom's,
Austin Ranch, sorry.
House, yep. Oreos, Uncle Tom's, House N-Word, they're the real sellouts. The Democratic Party, when you want to talk, Alan West said, about institutionalized racism, you want to talk about systemic racism and the purveyors, it's the Democrat Party. They've always been. They never voted for the 13th, 14th, or 15th Amendments. They're the party of Jim Crow. They're the party of segregation, of slavery. And now, with this case, the Democrats are on record as supporting the Democrat chairman who used the Oreo racist slur against Tim Scott. Thanks to them, they're the party that sees independent thinking, black men and women, as a threat. And Alan West concluded this powerful statement with saying, stop calling everyone else white supremacists and racists, because you, the Lamar County Democrat Party, the Texas Democrat Party, you're the real racists, he said, and I despise you.
Wow.
Powerful words from Alan West.
And because I've always said that so many things are not really about race these days. They're about politics, which is true. Why is this one absolutely about race? It's because it's Tim Scott's blackness that drew this particular fire from the Lamar County Democrat Chair Gary O'Connor. But for those that don't understand, can explain the Oreo thing, black on the outside, white on the inside. Get it?
They're the racists.
And that's exactly right. And that, because their attacks on black conservatives that they have dared to deviate from the expected attitudes of them. How condescending and insulting is that?
It's called projection. We often see people on the left, you know, call us what they themselves are guilty of. I'm glad we could head into Mother's Day weekend on an agreeable note for this. This is good.
It's a wonderful thing.
Happy Mother's Day to Lisa. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And you'll get it right. Maybe by Monday you'll come around.
Yeah, I'm praying for you. Thanks. I appreciate it. He's ready for you. He's ready for me, too, obviously. And he's always there for you. Mike Gallagher, today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.